Some arrogance is essential to the creative process. The very idea that your private thoughts or feelings are worth sharing with anyone outside your family or friends is already a kind of arrogance. Arrogance is the exit and entry point to the humiliation that art requires. Not unrelated is a dubious courage that when you find yourself out of your depth in troubled waters, you will discover how to swim. Another daft but true idea that creativity seems to depend on.
Ooh. Did y'all like that? Man, you recognize the voice? So I'm driving around and I'm listening to my Audible app. Your Uncle Dave, he does enjoy reading, but I've noticed that reading puts me to sleep. I get really drowsy when I read. Complete opposite of my wife. My wife can sit in a chair and read for hours and not get drowsy. I break open a book at night. I get in bed and I read an actual book. Or I crack open my iPad and hit up iBooks. And of course, it takes me a while to get through a book because I'll read a handful of pages before I... What I'm telling you is I enjoy books. I enjoy Audible when I'm driving around, especially if I'm going to drive any kind of distance. If I'm going to be in the car a half hour, 45 minutes, I fire up the Audible app. Well, what you heard was a rock star reading his own book, which is very, very long. I think it's a 14-hour audiobook. But yes, you recognize the voice. That was Bono from U2. And the name of the book is Surrender. And when I heard that clip, I just knew I had to play it for y'all because how many times have I told you in the life of this podcast, to be a filmmaker, you've got to have an ego. You've got to be confident. And you know, most of us meet people with egos and they're assholes. If you remember what I said, you can have an ego. You can be confident. You can think you're the best filmmaker in the world. Just don't be an asshole. I think I'm one of the top five filmmakers to come from my film school. I only made one movie, but I'll put that first movie up against any movie that one of my alumni have directed. All except for David Gordon Green. D-double-G. He has had a great career, and he's got that Terrence Malick thing going on. And I could never pull off that Terrence Malick thing. But D-double-G pulls it off really, really well. I'm just upset that he's taking on these amazing franchises and just kind of tearing them to shreds. I wish he would stop and just do something original, like he used to back in the old days. But yeah, Jeff Nichols. Oh, Jeff's up there. Y'all seen Mud? Matthew McConaughey? That's a great movie. I might have to put Mr. Nichols ahead of myself. Jody Hill did Foot Fist Way, and that launched Danny McBride's career. Foot Fist Way is very entertaining, but I think The Hike is a better movie as far as production value, story. But, you know, it's kind of hard to compare a comedy with a thriller slash horror movie. It's difficult to compare. But I would still put The Hike up against Foot Fist Way and say that my movie is better. But that movie Compliance, Craig Zobel, my boy's first movie, shit. The Hike is way better than Compliance. Way better. But you know, it's not a competition. I applaud anybody who makes a movie. Well done, sir. Well done, ma'am. But I do like to compete against my alumni. And the competition is purely in my head because no one knows who the hell I am. But most of the alumni that I rattled off in the last episode, they're well known. That competition that's in my head, it's healthy because it fuels me. It motivates me. When I think of those guys and the movies that they're making, we all need to look for some fuel. And sometimes you can find fuel where you don't expect to find fuel. Look for something that can fire you up and keep you in the game, keep you motivated. Oh, and speaking of McConaughey, his audiobook, Green Lights, It's the most amazing audiobook I've ever heard, and I've gone through quite a few. He is so engaging. He's so entertaining. That energy that he always has, he brings it to his audiobook. I highly, highly recommend his audiobook. You guys will love it. Now notice, I am not saying a word about the television that these guys have done. My hat's off to my fellow alum. They've done some amazing television work. You got Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals, The Righteous Gemstones. All of those were on HBO. All amazing. And all the names of the alumni that I have mentioned, if you look on the credits, most of those shows have all those people involved in one way or another. All right, so since we're talking about mistakes that I made, and we're talking about makeup artists, for those of you who went to the Instagram page after I posted last week's episode, you saw the caption that I wrote, and I just wasn't teasing you. I'm going to lay it out for you right now. Here is another way I fucked up while making the hike, and it involves the makeup artists. Okay, let me preface this. The two makeup artists that we had on set were amazing women. I really enjoyed them. I really did. I mean, really good people. And I can say that even after the assistant makeup artist got shit-faced, she's still a nice person. Now, would I work with her again? That mistake she made pretty much cemented the idea that, no, I would never work with her again. Because, you know, she showed her true colors. That's so unprofessional. But the lead makeup artist, even though she didn't keep tabs on her assistant makeup artist, I don't fault her for that. It wasn't her responsibility. It's all about personal responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's asking a lot to expect a friend to walk over to another friend who is downing shots one after another and say, whoa, 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 you need to stop now. A lot of people won't do that. Come on now. They should, but they don't. To find a film makeup artist, if you're not close to a big city, it's going to be very difficult. You know, San Diego is not a little city, but the makeup artists in San Diego were few and far between. Now, in LA, I had a ton of makeup artists from LA reach out to me, but LA makeup artists are very expensive. And, you know, we had some wound work. We had a scar on my face that I had to get done every morning. I'm not saying they don't deserve to be paid really well. They obviously do. But for an independent motion picture, it's kind of tough to pay the makeup artist more than you're paying the cinematographer. I mean, that's what it boils down to. So I contacted our lead makeup artist before the shoot in pre-production, and we talked on the phone. Got along great. I liked her. Really intelligent lady. Got a good head on her shoulders. She lived in San Diego. She had a car. So that means she'd be driving back and forth. I wouldn't have to get a hotel room for her. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Yay. Saving money. She primarily did makeup for weddings, model shoots. Every year she went to the Paris Fashion Show and she did makeup there and made tons of cash. For her, the Paris Fashion Show was almost like Christmas for retailers. She made so much money there that it just kind of kept her afloat in between wedding gigs and print advertising models. She wasn't that familiar with scars and wounds and blood and that kind of thing, but she said she would figure it out before the shoot. I said, okay, that's cool. And then I just wanted to make sure that I understood her completely, that she had never done makeup on a film, on a feature film, not a short. She said, no. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I made my mistake. I should not have hired her, but I was in a bind. I couldn't afford an LA makeup artist. Some of the makeup artists in San Diego, I just got a bad vibe from. Sometimes you just have to play the hand that you're dealt. So I went ahead and hired her with the intention of showing her slash training her on film makeup responsibilities. A makeup artist on a feature film, their responsibility is very simple. Keep the makeup consistent from scene to scene. That's all there is to it. And it's very important if there's scars, if there's blood, if there's a bruise. That all has to match from scene to scene. And that is what a makeup artist's responsibilities are on a film. Make sure it all is consistent and matches from day one to the last day, period. We have to keep the character's makeup consistent throughout the shoot. So as a makeup artist, you have to know at the end of scene one, what does the character look like? You got to keep the continuity. You got to be aware of the continuity. Now, before the invent of smartphones and great cameras, a makeup artist had a Polaroid. Some of you don't know what a Polaroid is, but it was a camera. You could take a picture and it would spit out the picture in real time on a piece of cardboard. So a makeup artist at the end of a scene would go to the character, take a picture, and throughout the shoot would accumulate all these pictures. And after the makeup artist takes this picture, they write end of scene one. And maybe on the back, they'll write little notes. Maybe they were sweaty. Maybe they only had one earring and they lost the other. The makeup artist would accumulate all these Polaroids. And remember, these Polaroids were actual pictures on one side of a really thick, firm card stock, kind of like a card, playing card, but thicker. And typically what you would do then is take a hole punch, punch a little hole in the corner of the Polaroid, and then take a big ring, like a steel ring that opens and closes, and you would just slide the card onto this ring. And at the end of the shoot, this ring would be filled with Polaroids. And the makeup artist would accumulate all these cards. So then when the shooting schedule changes, they can look at the cards and see what kind of makeup they need to do for today's shoot. The makeup artist show up in the morning, look at the call sheet, see the scenes we're doing. Okay, well, scene one and scene two are just minutes apart. We're going to do scene two today. We did scene one a week ago. So let me go back to the end of scene one and make sure I do the makeup correctly and make sure the wardrobe is correct. Now, with smartphones, there's no need for a Polaroid. There's no need for a hard copy of the picture. You just store the picture in your phone. And you can go through the phone and look at the date and the time. If you're the makeup artist, you put a caption under the picture telling you, you know, what scene, the end of what scene, what day it was, blah, blah, blah. My makeup artist knew nothing about this. And I thought I was going to teach her. But once the shoot started, that all went out the window. Now, she did attempt to keep up with the story. And for those of you who have seen the movie, at one point, our lead actress in the hike, she's all dirty and nasty. And, you know, she's been running back and forth between Derek and the cars. And we're all good up until a certain point in the hike. I didn't notice it. I mean, I realized the problem early on that I was not going to be able to teach her how to keep the continuity together because I had so much on my plate. Continuity to me has never been a big problem. I personally don't care about continuity, and there are other continuity problems in the hike that I realized on the set and I didn't care. Because my attitude was, you know, if you're going to be looking at something that is in one shot but it's not in the next shot, then why are you watching a movie? I'm trying to tell you a story, and you're looking to make sure that everything is exactly the way it should be from shot to shot. You know, I've never bought into that. But the makeup continuity, every time I have seen the movie at film festivals, it has bothered me to no end. I'm good for like 3/4 of the movie. It's like the next to the last scene. Our lead character, Brooke, has been running around. She's been thrown to the ground. She's been abused. She was slapped. With about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to go in the movie, she's tied up on the ground, leaning back against a tree, and she looks gorgeous. At some point, who cleaned her up? Did she clean herself up? I mean, this is a woman who has been basically kidnapped and tortured by a psychopath, and she's hanging out with her husband, future ex-husband, and she's never looked better. Oh, it kills me. It kills me. Now, I told y'all in a previous episode, we ended up shooting in order. And the last day of shooting, we had to squeeze in maybe the last 20 minutes of the movie, 25 minutes, which was a lot. I didn't have my lines memorized. I had so much going on. I didn't even notice how good she looked. It didn't register. If I would have noticed, I would have just thrown some dirt on her face or some shit. I would have done something about it, but I just spaced out and did not notice. I made a big mistake. But for the most part, it's okay. Do I wish I wouldn't have hired that makeup artist? That's hard for me to answer because, like I said, 3/4 of the movie were good. But I mean, she spaced out too because she didn't realize towards the end of the movie when our character's laying on the ground tied to a tree, she should really look like shit. No one on the crew said anything. The cinematographer didn't say anything. It was just one of those things that just flew over everyone's head. You know what? I'm going to answer that question. No, I have no regrets of hiring her. Now, just a few minutes ago, I said that was my biggest mistake when she said she had no film makeup experience. I should have cut the conversation right there and never considered her. I'll stick by that. That was my mistake. But she did a great job for the majority of the movie. She was a joy to work with. And believe me when I tell you, I've worked in my entire life in different capacities with people that I could not stand to be around. Y'all know how that feels. That's horrible. When you have to go to work and there's somebody there that you just can't stand, it's one of the worst feelings in life. So yeah, I'm going to answer that with no regrets. No regrets for hiring her. She did an amazing job. I put most of that continuity problem on my shoulders because I had this great idea that I was going to train her all the while making a movie. Oh, well. Live and learn, like we say, live and learn, baby. For those of you who have seen the movie or have downloaded the movie and own it for free since I gave it to you, when she's tied up and she's talking to the security guard who is also tied up, look at her. She's never looked better. This actress has never looked better in her fucking life. From this episode, I want you to take away that when you're looking for a makeup person, make sure that they're familiar with what a feature film makeup artist has to do, what their responsibilities are, and then hire accordingly. And you won't have to worry about it. All right, let's get out of here. Hope you all have a great week. And please, please, please be a lion, not a sheep. Later.